Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to your weekly rendition of The Weird. You are listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. My name is Barry Johnston. I'm your host, my co-host, one of my oldest friends in the entire universe, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you very much, Barry, once again for that delightful introduction.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So here we are. We are
once again.
I was just thinking about the other day that, you know, we've gotten into a real good rhythm here, and we feel like we're starting to hit our stride, as it were.
Yeah, I think so. Or at least an early gallop.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We are in our 40s. That's right. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I see so many great things ahead, you know, that we're still, you know, I mean, we've been doing this for you know, what is this? So almost 75 episodes. And if you count some of the specials and whatnot, we're over 75, but we've been doing that, you know, for almost 75 weeks in a row. This is 74. We still got a long ways to go with this podcast journey.
Yeah. And I feel like the stories are, they just remain quality. The people that we've had on are just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. We've been very fortunate.
Yeah.
We have. You know, and we owe that to our guests and our listeners, and you know, the participation that, you know, has been involved in all of this. And you know, off mic, every week we talk about how awesome it is that we get this chance to talk to people and make new friends and have great conversations with people and hear their weird stories or their, you know, the stuff that, you know, we like. I mean, we like it all, but, you know, I mean, this is, you know, the focus of the show, but, you know, and sometimes when we're having these good conversations with people, you know, sometimes we'll just wander off.
Right.
And you know, just have other conversations spawned out of it that don't make it on the air.
Right.
Like with today's guest. We had a meandering conversation that lasted about an hour and a half. And when it came to editing, we realized that we, you know, had to cut a lot of it that wasn't necessarily topic related, but, you know, was just general life related and stuff. And I think, you know, with our guest, we met Jess. She was another Reddit. She was our first Reddit responder. We just had a great conversation. You know, we had a lot of fun. You guys talked about your kids and we talked about our cats. And, you know, we talked about all sorts of other stuff that is not going to be in the episode, but it was still a lot of fun.
I think, and that's the kind of thing that just happens naturally. It's just because we're having conversation. Yeah. Sometimes we get off on one and we don't stop it because we might capture something that's fun, you know, and that deserves to be listened to.
Yeah. And we like, you know, that's part of how the organicness of this whole way we approach storytelling and everything, you know, is not a cold interview, not a, you know, super prompted thing. We just like, hey, you start and we'll go and we'll follow and we'll dance around and go back and forth just like a normal conversation.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. You have the floor and we'll chime in.
So all that being said, we had a great conversation with Jess and she had some freaky stuff that happened to her. I guess let's just roll into it. Hey, Jess, thank you so much for contacting us, for talking to us, for being part of the show. What's your weird story?
So I was about 14, and my parents and I and my siblings, we went to go visit my aunt. They just moved from Kansas City to Independence. And, you know, we drove from Omaha, so it was a few hours. And for whatever reason, we had to drive in the evening. So when we get there, it's dark. And I wake up just in time to look at the house and instantly just felt creep factor. Just, and I looked at my mom as she's trying to get my sister out, you know, of her car seat. And I was like, Mom, this house is creepy. She's like, oh, it's just an old house. Okay, then. So we get in, and we have the dog with us. We have Dusty with us because, you know, we had only had him maybe a year or so at that point, and he was, he didn't really get to socialize very much, and so we weren't sure how he would act with the other dogs around, but, you know, we were just expecting the best. He wasn't, he's never been aggressive, and anyway, so... we get in and they're giving me shit right away. I'm sitting on the couch and they're like, oh yeah, well, you know, Jess thinks that there's something wrong with the house and da da da. And I'm 14, so I'm just a teenager, you know? And so,
any kind of attention that you're going to be getting, no matter what, exactly. is just mortifying.
Exactly. And so, so my aunt was, you know, they started talking about how, every morning they would have a fight because one of them must have came home drunk and opened up all the cabinets or moved the dishes around because none of them did it. So they were fighting about it every morning. And so I thought they were just making it up. Like, they're just bullshitting me right now because they know that I'm creeped out and I have to sleep out in the living room by myself, you know? Yeah. So, like, oh, great. Well, I'm just going to go to bed now. but that, so the next morning we wake up and they're already up and I go to take a shower and I wanted to make some notes about things that I've seen that I just can't really explain. There's just a lot of why. Mm-hmm. And I still don't really have answers, but anytime I do get information, it just still doesn't make sense. Why? So... I get done with the shower, and this, they give you a little bit of floor plan. So when you walk in, you have the living room and the kitchen, you know, to the other side of that. And on the living room wall adjoining is their bedroom. And then, you know, you go up the stairs, and there's quite a few bedrooms upstairs. And that was kind of weird. Didn't really place two and two together. But after I get out of the shower, I realized that so these rooms, I mean, they're the same size, and they're smaller, and they have these... just look like cubbies, but not really like a little closet door that you would just open that's attached to the wall. Mm-hmm. But it's a pretty big door. Like, this sounds creepy, just saying it, but it's, you know, you can, a six-year-old child would be hanging out and hiding in there, you know?
Yeah.
And as I'm walking by the second and third one, I realize that there's not a door there because it's boarded up instead. And so I'm like, what? That's odd. Yeah. Why? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's definitely a little mysterious added on to the fact that you got this whole creepy vibe going. So.
Yes. And it's not going away. I mean, it's still there, but I'm just kind of like a nervous laugh trying to blow it all off. And so we're downstairs and Dusty's acting crazy. I mean, he's, you know, he's getting kind of food aggressive and, you know, we're just, it could just be, again, because we're, you know, around new dogs. Mm-hmm. And so we're just keeping an eye on it. But then he starts getting worse. And we're, you know, trying to get that under control. Well, once we finally separate them, we think everything's fine. And we go, you know, everybody decides, hey, you know, let's play a game. And before we even get, you know, before I even get down there, they're like, they're trying to decide, you know, she's naming off games that she has and everybody agrees on sorry. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, cool. They're like, all right, Jess, you're going to go downstairs and get it. Yeah. Oh, of course, me, right? Yeah. So they can fuck with me some more. That's how it's going to be. So my aunt's like, all right, I'll go with you. I was like, oh, thank God. Because as I'm walking down there, it's a fucking Freddy Krueger basement. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, who has a fucking coal furnace like this? I was like, well, I'm just going to get sucked into some abyss down here. Thanks. And so we get down there and you just kind of get down the steps and you loop around the side and you can see all the games are kind of lined on this rack that's on the stairs there anyway. And I'm looking. I find the game. And before I even grab it, I look over at my aunt and she's just like, what? Like, what? I said, are you not seeing this? On top of the game, sorry, the only game that we chose was this knife. And I don't mean just a regular knife. It was, I honestly couldn't even properly describe it until I saw something kind of like it the other day on a video. And a hunter was using it to cut open a deer.
Like a bowie knife?
It was bowed. Yep. So it was curved.
Yep.
Oh, so it's like a, was that a boning knife? Is that what they call them?
Yes. But the opposite side of it was so intricately cut that there's no way somebody was using that for hunting. I mean, this thing was like just curved. It curved out right at the hilt. So you had the blade here. It was curved at the hilt here and just so intricately cut. I was scared to even touch it.
Wow.
And so knew that, like, you, that's why you guys picked this game, right? And she's like, no, I really don't know where, whose this is or where it came from.
That's
wow.
I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, I'm running upstairs, so like yank the game, and I'm like, dude, leaving her in the dust. Like at the top of the stairs, like, hurry up before they get you. And so we're playing the game, then, you know, we're all going back and forth with the dogs and, you know, trying to get this game done, and it's just not working because we really just have to continuously separate the dogs. What is happening? Oh, and so I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory too. I get, I'm very sensitive to like a lot of, feelings, emotions. I get triggered by that pretty quickly. Like I process those things faster than what you're saying to me. So I'm registering that and I'm feeling it. And so I get a little bit overwhelmed and I kind of have to just go into a place by myself, you know? And so I said, hey, you know, Aunt Lisa, can I watch a movie in your room? You know, it's so close enough to everybody instead of, you know, somewhere upstairs that's not near anybody. But I, you know, so I'd feel comfortable. And of course, I watch Jeepers Creepers because I love scary movies. Oh, so. So I'm like, yes, this is cool. And I hear everybody in the living room, right? So I feel comfortable. And the small dog was coming in and out. She had three dogs of her own. So we had four dogs all there together, of course, you know. And so the smaller dog was coming in and out, and he wanted to sleep under the waterbed in that little crawl space that's in there. And so I would hear him kind of crawling around, and then he'd want to get let out. Well, I lost track of how many times I was doing that. And I was hearing him under the bed again, but he wasn't at the door. And so I'm like, oh, that's weird. Well, I wonder what he's doing. He doesn't want out, so I guess he's fine. And then it was quiet. And then I hear knocking on the wall. And again, I hear them. I hear people in the living room, you know. So I'm like, they're fucking with me. Yeah. I'm all right. So I was like, haha, okay. And then I ignored it. It happened again, and it was louder. And it was just, you know, thumping on the wall. And so I was like, okay, now you're just obnoxious. And right as I was getting ready to get up and yell, it was just bam, bam, bam. The wall was shaking. Wow. And I'm just like, what the? I get up, I'm just ready to yell at somebody. And it was dead silent. And I look outside because I hear dogs barking out there. Not a single person is in the house. Every fucking dog and every person is outside right at that point. Nobody's there. I grab my jacket. I run outside. I'm like, just white face. And I'm not even going to, I'm not going to tell them. I'm not going to tell them what happened. They're not. Gonna, yeah. They're going to fuck with me some more, right? But they can see that I'm shaken up. Because right. They're talking to one of the neighbors. And, you know, he's talking about how it used to be an orphanage at some point. Didn't go too much into details about it, but, you know, I knowing now, really, like looking at their faces now, remembering it, I feel like they might have understood a lot more than what I was thinking that they were, I guess. Right. And so, yeah, we actually ended up leaving early. We were going to stay another night because it was only Saturday at that point. And, you know, Dusty was acting too crazy. He was sniffed at my mom, and he never does that. I mean, he was a good dog. And so anyway, We leave and everything's okay. Actually, Dusty ended up becoming epileptic shortly after that. So he ended up having seizures, and yeah, he was it's kind of a little bit of a mess, but he was still a good boy. He never had aggression like that ever again. And when I had my dog, you know, years later, and I brought her over, he played with her just fine. Everything was good. Never showed the same symptoms. Huh. So within a couple weeks, my mom calls me and she's like, I just want to tell you, about all of your feelings that you had over at your aunt's house. She's like, yeah. She said, well, they went out of town. And they had the neighbor's son come in to watch the dogs, you know, just feed them, take them out, make sure that they're okay. Like the second or third time that he went in, there was blood everywhere. Oh. The dogs had tried to kill each other. One of them had a gash just straight down the side. Another one has his tooth went straight through his lip. The little one was just a mess. I mean, they said it was everywhere. They meant everywhere. I mean, like walls, the furniture, it was all over the place. They packed up and moved. Yeah. They were done up.
So they had the dishes moving and they had all the cabinets opening and they just kind of played it off. And then the dogs almost just destroy each other. And that's, you know, there must have been other things that had happened.
I'm sure there was. I wish I wasn't so scared to talk about it for so long. I'm like, man, I really would. Wish I would have known. I wish I would have said something or, you know, spoke up more, because there has to be. And my aunt, she's no longer with us, but her wife, ex-wife now, is around there somewhere. I should maybe try to reach out to her. I wonder, because I can't be the only one. There's no way, because that was just a day, less than 24 hours.
Wow.
And it was like that. There's no way.
Yeah.
No way.
That's a lot of intense kind of happening there. And it just seems like if your dog's getting a bad fight in your house, that doesn't seem to me to be like, well, I guess we should just move. Right. That doesn't seem like that would be that. Mm-hmm. That seems to me to be like, okay, there's
the catalyst.
Enough of whatever this is going. Yeah. You know, there's the, mm-hmm. that's the final, that's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sure there has to be more to that.
I really wish I knew too. Yeah. I'm sure she probably doesn't even want to talk about it. Like maybe nobody would believe her. Because even me, it doesn't make any sense. Like why? What kind of, where the fuck did that knife come from?
Yeah. And,
I mean, whatever it was, it was playing a real good game. It knew. Oof.
Well, you know, I mean, and a former orphanage, you know, I mean, if it's an old house, you know, there's going to be a lot of, I mean, orphanages were not great and still a lot of times are not great. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sadness and a lot of bad things, negative energies absolutely. And stuff like that are there.
Yeah.
And that can affect and linger. And, you know, and I mean, not all, and again, you know, back in the day, you know, I mean, we know that a lot of people weren't good to kids that ran orphanages. They were just running for, you know, this was an easy way, I guess, to get money. So, you know.
Right.
I mean, like, and that's kind of a stereotype. yeah, exactly. So who knows? But I mean, to me, that just seems like that is just a whole other layer on top of everything else, you know?
Yeah.
That's wild.
That is wild.
I just can't imagine. I really wish I could. I really wish that she was still around. I really wish she could talk about it or anyone. But I tried looking up the house too. I don't have the address, but if I saw a picture of it, I will never forget. And I'm 30 years old now. So this is for me to still remember those details. I just
made quite an imprint.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder if you could, have you tried getting on the Google machine and seeing if you could pull up, you know, old former orphanage and, you know, where it's at. So
a little bit of it. I want to dig a little bit deeper. I do. I think I'm going to continue to do that. There's a lot that this incident had taught me too, though, about myself. Obviously trusting my instincts is a huge part of it. And I've learned that if I ignore any of those instincts or any of those like feelings that have come up, they come back and hit me really hard. And that's another one that I wanted to. So I had this dream that we were in. It was a hotel. So it was like kind of like the Stanley Hotel where everybody knows that it's haunted and they're right. Like, you don't even know what ghosts to talk about because there's just so many of them. Well, this hotel, whatever the hotel was that was in my mind, had one specific ghost that everybody was there to see. I mean, people were lined up. They were camped out outside because apparently there wasn't enough rooms. There's people that were just telling different stories about this ghost and, you know, protect yourself. You know, this is what you need to do. You need to show, you know, assertion. Don't let it possess you. Don't let it hurt you. Don't let it do any of this stuff. And so, and there's people that are just talking about all the terrible things that it did. And I'm just thinking, I mean, it's never killed anybody. So, I mean, I guess it can't be that bad, right? Like, fine. And so somehow I end up with a room, and for whatever reason, I decide that I'm going to sleep on the couch because I apparently have a fancy room in my dream. And so I sleep on the couch instead of the bed. And of course, the door opens wide and just a black figure standing there. But my feelings were so instantly hateful. I've never hated something so much in my life. I mean, I was just, and it's like, I couldn't yell all the things that I wanted to. I wanted to say so many things and just tell this thing to just go fuck right on off. Like, I'm trying to sleep. Who the fuck are you to interrupt that? I was so mad and I couldn't. And finally, all I could say, because I couldn't feel like I couldn't even move. All of a sudden, I just ripped the blanket off me. I said, if you're not going to leave, then I am. I go to start walking, and this thing runs up to me like one of those vampire movies, you know, where they're like, all of a sudden it's just a blur and they appear right in front of you.
Yeah.
I was looking at myself.
Wow.
Whoa.
Dead on. She was giving me a look like, like a smug son of a bitch. She was, oh yeah, like, what the fuck are you going to do? And it was just. Yeah, I woke up at that point and realized, like, man, I really need to wake up and start paying attention to what I'm saying to myself, what I'm doing to myself, these feelings that I have, and, you know, what I'm getting from everyone else as well. Like, I need to control this because, I mean, I was telling myself something.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, big time. Yeah. I mean, it's something that you didn't want to hear, apparently, you know? I mean, like... Right. Seems like that to me. I don't know, you know. Right. Have you ever seen anything else like the shadow, you know, these shadow being kind of things in, you know, your waking or, you know, waking world life? Because see, that's immediately what I, you know, you said the you could see was the black silhouette, and that makes me think of the shadow, you know, hearing stories about shadow people. And those almost always create a very agitated and extreme terrified and negative response.
Yeah, from people. Very angsty spirit. They attract a lot of that. Yeah. I don't know if my ignorance has been like a blessing to me or not, but I get those, that feeling, not very often. It's not a feeling that I will ever forget. So when I go places or when I see things, I don't have that urge to go explore it. I'm more like, you know what? I've been there. I'm good. We're going this way, you know? And so, and it's helped me a lot. But I have seen this one, and I had a friend growing up And he lived, we both lived in these townhomes together. And he was like my best friend. His mom was like my mom, you know? And so I was always there. They're always telling me about the ghosts that lived in their house. And I never believed it. I was like, no way. Da da da. You guys are just bullshitting me. That was always my personality. It was always like that. Like, until I see it, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, that was like 10 years old. So for 4 years, I didn't see anything. They had caught like a video of his head for somehow like coming down the stairs. Wow. This is when Jackass was real popular. So he'd always have his camcorder and he's like, you know, all the dumb shit we do. So, so you see this little white thing come down and it stops and you could just see a face and it, you know, turns and goes into the kitchen, right? Well, man. I didn't get to see it. So again, I'm like, okay, whatever. Right. So we were about, this was about a year after the incident with my aunt happened. And I was sitting on the porch and there was like two people in the living room. There was no adults in the house, you know, the two. And then I think he was passed out upstairs. Well, out of the corner of my eye, I saw this old man in red flannel shirt, khakis and suspenders walk from the living room into the kitchen and disappear. And this townhome, it was just set up where like you walk in and you could, I mean, he had to go through the door because it was wide open. That's how I saw him coming from the living room. How did he appear through that door, you know, walking down into this kitchen? Because the dining room window is right next to me on the porch. So I'm literally, this is what I'm seeing.
Wow.
And yeah. And so, yeah, and then they've never seen what he looks like. So why is it that's me that's seeing that, you know? And
that's wild.
Yeah, well, then there was other little things that started happening after that because I realized something's obviously here, okay? So I'm leaving it a little bit more. I'm trying not to go too off the rails with it because, you know, I'd like it to be genuine. If something's, if I notice something, I instantly get these chills. Well, I was 17 and it was just him and I. He was downstairs, I was upstairs, and the room that they, you know, usually see him in is the bigger room that's on the left side of the stairs and the bathroom's on the right. Well, I come out of the bathroom and I realize the light's on, so I just go shut it off. Get halfway down the stairs and I have instant cold chills because that light was not on before that. It was dark. It's during the day. There's no reason for that light to be on. Like, it's not like it's not dark, obviously, because it's during the day, but it's not like there's no reason for lights to be on, you know?
Yeah.
Not night, and that's the point. And so, yeah, just instantly like, oh, okay, then. So that's the game we're playing. Well, I'm so glad you're nice. So I'm just going to mosey on downstairs. Those are the two incidences for sure that I remember. But yeah, otherwise I just don't. Yeah.
Did you ever see him again or is that was the only time?
They moved out. So yeah, they moved out after that. And yeah, that was the only time I got to see him. But I know for sure whoever's living there, he's not gone. He's still there. And he was sweet enough. They used to say that, like, you know, he would say that when he was sick, he'd feel somebody rubbing his back and nobody would be there. So, I mean, the guy was, you know, trying to take care of him.
Right.
Yeah. Sweet old man.
But. Yeah. If you're going to have a ghost, a nice, sweet old man would probably be a good one to have.
Exactly. Like, I'm not, you know, I never had that scary feeling. I never had that creepy feeling, just more of like a, oh, and then chills, but nothing like my aunt's house. That was the first one I think I've ever. And the fact that the story had to continue because it was one of those where it's like it could have ended that way and I could have just ignored it my whole life and been like, oh, it was just in my head. I was just a crazy teenager. For it to end like that, I was like, man, something there.
Oh, gosh. Right. That would be such a horrific sight to walk into as the kid that's taking care and just all those the animals going crazy.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. And then, oh, my God. And even, he thought they were dead. I mean, they were just laying there. I mean, he got there just in time. So
that's impressive.
Dusty, you know, for him to just become epileptic after that, like he just had so many issues.
Yeah, because usually, I mean, dogs will develop that if they, you know, I mean, if they have it, that starts earlier on, you know, when people, when animals have epilepsy like that.
Yeah.
So,
as an older dog. So,
I'm sure it's not unheard of, but it just seems peculiar that in association with and how his behavior had changed while you were there.
Wild stuff, man.
Walking out of that house, you know, when we were gone from it, it was like just like you could breathe again, like you weren't didn't feel that suppression, just
right,
just sitting on your chest and trying to suck the life out of you.
And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side. And he said, "We've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house."
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane. But there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy?
The hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they start off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere.
When I was living in Cape Girardeau, we were driving through the cemetery, and I was 17. So that was actually the second time that I had that creepy feeling like somebody was watching me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it followed me for a little bit. Maybe not me, us, you know,
right,
in the car, but didn't last very long, which I'm very grateful for. So I don't make, like I try to avoid those things now. I definitely, when I get that feeling, I'm out.
Nope. I think that's wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I think a part of me now is like, you know, let's explore that a little bit more. Let's see. Maybe I'm just, you know, one life to live. YOLO. Let's see what happens. Right.
You're braver than most. I can tell you that.
Braver than me, man. If I felt something, I was like, I think I would just walk on by.
I've had times when I've been just totally spooked where it's like,
oh, yeah,
you have those chills and you're just like, wherever you're at, you just like got to get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I've certainly felt that. But I've never had anything that I could concrete say, oh, well, it's because there was a presence there. You know, it was always just something in my mind that was like, was that true? You know, was it there or was I just making it up? You know, I've never had a ghostly encounter that, you know, so I don't know. I wish I could say that I had, but I've never had one, you know?
It's so, I don't even know what that was. What if it wasn't even a ghost? That's things I think about all the time.
Right.
Like, there's no way. I mean, it's far more than that. I mean, to be able to move things.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a high intelligence.
And that's the thing, too, is what I was going to say about, you know, about you're talking about the game that you guys were playing. And it was like when you saw the knife on the thing, it's like if that thing, if it can manifest enough energy to put something somewhere specific, I just, there's no telling what's going on there. That's not a good situation.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And plus, like you said, they argued about the, you know, the dishes floating or moving around and the doors of the cabinets and everything being open. And that's, I mean, that's classic, like, you know, ghost, poltergeist, right, haunting kind of stuff. That's like the early signs
textbook stuff there
of shit's going to go down.
Right. So, you never think it's going to be you. So,
And they're like, they like to drink. So my aunt, she would have all kinds of drunken stories. Yeah. So it was easy for us to blow off. Be like, well, somebody's fucking with each other at this point, you know. But No, it made so much more sense. And now I really wish I might find her. Maybe I can see what she says about it. Or if I can find that house, I can guarantee there's other people that have similar stories. There's no way. Yeah. I didn't even live there. And I never considered myself to be sensitive to that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's got all it's got the perfect ingredients. It's the old house, former orphanage, and everything else, that weird boarded up door,
Yeah. What were you doing? Stuffing children in there as punishment? Like why? And why did you feel the need to board it up?
Bizarre. That's the really weird thing. Cause those other little cubby holes and stuff like that, probably linen closets and stuff like that you would have that in the older houses because, you wouldn't have a chest of drawers very often or just as much furniture, we do now, so you would have to put all your linen and you would also have a lot of linens for winter and stuff like that, so you'd have to have that. And if it's an orphanage, you're going to need a lot of linens for all the little kids because there are going to be multiple beds, in every room and everything. So, that just seems like it would make sense. But, the weird – I wish that I knew what happened to the knife or, if it was seen again. Or seriously. There's so much of the story that left that that we don't know, and that's the mystery.
And I'll tell you, my aunts, they didn't hunt, they didn't do anything like that. They were more just like, let's get on with our day, so we can go party it up tonight. They didn't have kids, they didn't have responsibilities, they were just living life, and so it was. Like, what the fuck? And I tried looking up, I thought maybe it was just something that was pagan even, just something that would be used in rituals. I haven't found anything like it. Nothing.
What can you remember about the designs on the top?
It was really, obviously it was really thick, right, near the hilt, and then it got thinner, but it wasn't like those moon-shaped ones that I've seen. Where it's, just the moon shape because it, whatever looks pretty, it was so well cut on the sides. Like it was so intricate. Like it was just like it wound and twisted around and then to just have that one space that just curved up. And it's like, what would that even be for? Why would you have a sharp curve right there? And it's not at the top, like you would have like with some of those like fishing knives or whatever either. Mm-hmm. So it was just, I've never seen anything like it. It's blows my mind. Yeah. Again, so you see, I still have more questions than I do answers. Time I get more information, I'm like, okay, well now why is this?
It sounds like.
But, sorry. Yeah.
It sounds like an old specialized knife of some sort, with that design, with that kind of how the blade is like you said. I can't think of what it would be, but it initially sounded like, like a boning knife that you would take for for flaying or for cutting up an animal or a fish or something like that. Yeah. But with all the designs on the blade, that seems to me to be something that's older, that would be more of an elaborate thing than just a normal everyday utility thing. So that had to be something somebody was proud of having that knife.
Exactly. Like there's no reason that somebody would just leave that there in that particular spot and just have it be some kind of just regular everyday tool. Like this is something that, it was beautiful. Like if it wasn't such a creep factor, it's something that I would have just shown. It would have been sitting in a case somewhere for people to see, look how cool this is. But I'm good. I like my body parts where they are.
Wow. I also wonder if the general, heaviness and spirits or whatever of the house kind of pushed people to pick that game, because, man, I'll tell you what, when you're a little kid, Sorry's fun, but when you're older, you know, and you got adults playing Sorry, there's nothing that really, like, gets people angry and frustrated, because the game is about, you know, you screw people over and you're, oops, right. Sorry, you know, but when you, it gets vicious, it can get really vicious. So I wonder if that was something that was kind of guided.
Right. Like, right.
Let's play this game. Yeah. It's going to get everybody angry and upset.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Like, why can't we?
Right.
I'm surprised that I could keep my emotions in check, because I have never been one to just be like, let's calm down. Like, don't tell me to calm the fuck down, because it's just going to make me even more mad.
Yeah.
So I'm just really surprised that I held it together the way that I did. And it makes me wonder. I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's anything special with me. I think that I just happened to fall into some shit. I'm one of those people where I feel like if it could happen to me, it does, or it will.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might be just tuned in a little bit more onto a, you know, a different frequency, that so where you do pick up on that, you do perceive these things, because, like, you know, Barry said that, you know, he's never had any kind of ghost experience. I have not either. You know, we love hearing about it, but neither one of us have had any kind of, you know, that kind of experience. I'm personally very happy to not have had a ghosty experience,
right.
Cause it would freak me out.
You know? Yeah. No kidding.
It was just traumatizing. I can't. And I had a friend who was talking about, that's the whole reason I even brought it up. Cause I usually just tell people about the thumping. Cause I'm like, all right, like whatever. That's like hard to explain, you know? And so I tell people that part of the story, but I never really go into the other little details, because nobody understands, nobody gets it. Yeah. And you have to really be at that house to understand. It was just instant, like my skin's like crawling.
Yeah.
And every time I think I have chills, that's really what it is. My skin just crawls because I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We don't put enough emphasis on gut feelings, you know, like we should, and going with your gut instinct. There's a reason why that saying's been around for so long, you know, is because there's something deep down inside of you that you're feeling. And we've had a lot of people on here that have had those experiences, and it just is fascinating to me, because their clarity through it and their understanding of it and what they see. And, it's mind blowing. And what these things can do sometimes is mind blowing and scary and all of the above, exciting and weird and all that. But, that's the cool thing when we get to talk to people is get these different stories. And even though we haven't had, you know, he or I haven't had, you know, experience with ghosts, like I've seen some weird alien stuff, like not aliens, but like a UFO, you know, like weird stuff like that. It's like, you can't tell me it didn't happen. My dad was with me when I saw it. I know I saw it, you know, but you don't tell everybody that, because people are like, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know?
I had a chick. I was in basic training, and she said, I don't remember where I got in this conversation, and I said something about the aliens, and she said, I don't believe in aliens because I believe in Jesus.
Right. I was like, well,
what?
Just because one exists doesn't mean the other also can't exist.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they don't cancel each other out, or
right.
You know.
I mean, right. Yeah. It is
my interpretation of the Bible here.
sometimes it's, I think people, and I understand why people would say something like that. I think in a lot of ways it makes them feel good to feel like there's an order to things, you know, and I get why people do that. But at the same time, it's like, why do we have to sort of put these parameters around what we... I was watching something the other day about the universe, right? And just how small, they kept zooming out and zooming out and zooming out and zooming out, and to where at the very end, you're looking at the entire, our entire universe, what we think that the universe is. And then you're looking at, you can't even see where you're at. Like when you're talking about the Earth in that, you can't. So I just think that our perspective sometimes is very, very, you know, minuscule. And
absolutely. And you know, a lot of what I've learned is we only know what we've been taught, and that gets passed down. And there's a lot of unexplained things, and people you know what, if you believe, if you want to, you know, put all of that hope and all of that stock, you know, if you want to put it in faith in your religion, good for you. That's fine. I'm not saying that you're wrong. You know, I think everybody needs that kind of guidance, something to, you know, put that explanation for yourself and give yourself that hope so that you can get through your life where you want to.
Yep.
That's fine. But I'll never be naive enough to think that we're the only thing out there. Right. I absolutely. Yeah. No way. There's just such a small part.
Especially when you talk about your experiences, stuff that you've felt, seen, heard, touched, all that stuff. It's like there's more to things than what we know, and I'm not willing to close the book on that.
Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
You know, I would agree with that probably too. Because I think with ghosts, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world. And we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's completely unknown. We have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk. And to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy because you're not. Wow.
Great stories.
Yeah. Thank you, Jessica. Dan, the thing that gets me most about this one, the one that kind of like has really stuck in my mind since we talked, was about the dog,
right?
How the dogs had turned on each other.
Yeah.
And, poor neighbor kid that had to discover that all of that happened. And, you know, her having she was definitely right to have those bad feelings about that place. You know, I mean, she said it used to be an orphanage, man.
Yeah.
Just creepy all around, but still.
Usually the orphanage thing is going to leave a pretty distinct creep factor in the bones of the structure. For whatever reason, we keep hearing these stories about these types of places. And you know, the piece about the knife that was found on top of the game that they were looking for in the basement, man, is just so, again, with the basements, creepy.
Yep.
Creepy, man. I don't know what to make of that. It seems to me that that it was a purposeful thing. It seems like it was put there on purpose, and that they were meant to find it because that was the game that they were looking for. It's just weird, just so weird.
Yeah, yeah. It really seems strange. I doubt it was something that her aunts would have put there. But
right, and the cabinets being open and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And then, of course, you know, she saw that shadow being.
Right.
And that whole thing.
Right.
You know, and the old man ghost. Old man,
yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, man.
It's nuts. And to be younger and have to go through that and experience that must have been terrifying for her.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah. But, you know, she was, when we talked to her, she was very cool as a cucumber, very together. So, you know, that was very cool. So.
Absolutely. She was a great guest, and we appreciate her coming on and sharing her stories. Really, really cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks again, Jess. We really appreciate it. And so now that leads us to an announcement of sorts.
Okay.
I guess it's a legit announcement. So
okay, sure.
So if you were, you know, listening to our first episode of the year, we announced that we are having new things were coming. We got plans, and so now we're going to reveal part of those plans, some part of those new things.
Yeah, we often, Adam and I, if we're waiting on a guest or we're just working on stuff for the podcast, we'll get on these sort of long rants or whatever about a lot of different subjects, but one of them that we sort of like keep coming back to is music and bands and songs and albums. So we thought it'd be fun to make a list of some records. I'd say 3/4 of the list are albums that neither one of us have any connection to at all.
Right.
Some of them are way out of our, you know, comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know, it'd be cool to just like, let's listen to it. Let's pick a record. Let's listen
to it. At random.
Yeah, at random. So we made a list and then we just, we're picking them at random and give our review or feelings about the record. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah. This is it. Basically, like Barry said, this is born out of the fact that, you know, often we just have these conversations.
Yeah.
Regardless, you know, or, you know, we'll shoot each other text. Hey, man, have you heard this? Are we thinking about stuff? You know, do you like this? We, you know, if we're together on a car ride, we always talk about, you know, which album of the, you know, Guided by Voices do you think is best or whatever, you know, right. Barry, and we take different approaches.
Yeah.
You know, Barry takes from his background, because we both have a music background. Barry's background is in, as being he's, you know, in production as an engineer and as a sound guy.
Yeah.
And also as a songwriter and a musician. And that's how he looks at these things and takes the approach of it. And my background was, I was in a band and, or a couple of musical projects, but, you know, one was definitely a touring band and everything. And, I also worked for many years in several different record stores.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my background in it.
Right.
So I always take a kind of like, well, you know, let's look at the history, you know, historical context. And,
right.
And I respond to music on a much more like, you know, emotional level. Like I take it as like, you know, I don't, it's not pieces to me. It's as a whole.
Right.
And so I look at it more as like, you know, you would look at a painting, but then I can break down into interesting parts of it.
Yeah.
And So, you know, that's my response.
Yeah.
And so since we have these two ways of looking at it, we thought, hey, you know, we do this. We talk about all this stuff. We really enjoy podcasting.
Right.
It's and not so much the sound of our own voices, but
we like good conversation.
And we do like good conversation. We like talking. And so, yeah. So,
right.
So anyway, I guess a long way around we'll stop beating around the bush. Is we are going to be launching a new podcast. It's a music review podcast, as Barry said, you know, where we're taking the albums at random and stuff. And it's going to be, it's called Spin Jammerama, just because that sounds like I picked that name because it sounds like a old, like 70s music magazine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's got a cool vibe. The angle that I think is a cool angle, because there's a lot of reviews and stuff, but we're actually sort of going out of our way to find something, at least not that there won't be negative reviews, but to try to find something positive about the stuff that we're listening to, even though we may not totally be into it. I think there's an aspect about music that, you know, you can take something from, you know, whether you hate it or not. There's something you can take from it.
Yeah, we're looking to try to find something to appreciate within if we don't necessarily like something. So we're not trying to be negative. We're just trying to respond to it in a kind of like, I don't want to say necessarily an educated way, but just a way that we're like, okay, so, you know, but this is kind of how we do it. And if we come across something that we absolutely hate, well, then we're just going to be like, we're just not going to do that.
Right.
We'll let, you know, yeah. We'll change it. We're going to be like,
right.
Oh, no.
Yeah. rather than spend a half hour or 45 minutes just shitting on a record.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's enough of negativity in the world. We want to try to find, the some positives in everything.
Right. Yeah. So look forward to that, and we will be dropping those periodically. They won't necessarily be on a time table, but we will. We'll just be putting them out into the ether as we get them.
Keep your ears open for that in Spin Jammerama to debut in the next couple of weeks. We're doing a double feature for the first episode. We're going to be doing Frank Zappa's Apostrophe, we're also doing Dwight Yoakam.
I'm excited about it.
I forgot the name of the album.
This time.
His big album. So
those two records aren't necessarily something that I would listen to. I like Dwight Yoakam. Everything I listen to or have heard from him, I really enjoy, but I don't have any records. Frank Zappa is somebody that that was a choice I threw out there just because it was like, from a production standpoint and somebody that has pushed the envelope a little bit, I've never really listened to his stuff, like really sat down and listened to it. So we did that, and I think people will enjoy it.
Yeah. We hope you do at least.
Right.
So yeah, look forward to that, and look for us next week, because we'll be back on our regular schedule for sure with this podcast. Next week, Barry, we're talking to Dustin.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Dustin's got some great, great, great stories.
Yeah, he does.
He is his life has just been riveted with this weirdness, and it's cool. It's really cool. Yeah. I can't wait for people to hear it.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening once again, and we'll see you next week where you'll hear us. Because we won't be seeing you. We're not looking through your windows or anything like that, which would be weird on its own.
That'd be weird.
Anyway, everybody, take it easy. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.